This has been a Stranger Things Beetlejuice crossover AU, brought to you by Rena Jenkins.
And formerly DF.
The story is an oral notfic, so it is not necessarily cohesive, but it definitely has an emotional through line.
0% cohesive! We were making dinner for half of it!
And you will appreciate it. This oral notfic was recorded in part as a response to Little Red Robin Hood's temptation for Voice Team Mystery Box 2023 into 2024. I'm not entirely sure how we're counting this round. Anyway, Little Red Robin Hood said, I think more people should make oral notfics. They are very fun. My specific suggestions is for crossover / fusion notfics. What would happen if characters from multiple fandoms met? And then other things that went on like that. But basically, already in my heart, already in formerly DF's heart, and then Little Red Robin Hood meant that I could get points for it. All right, mic is on.
Because I gotta say, like, originally when you kind of broached this concept, I was like, eh, I don't know, you know, like, here, I'll take the mic into the kitchen. Yeah, I'm just taking it off the pan. But yeah, like, originally when you first kind of broached this concept, I was like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, like, you got me into the supernatural
element of Beetlejuice's Stranger Things.
Well, no, I was going to say, you got me into the supernatural Stranger Things crossover. So, like, now I'm like, all right. But, yeah, no, like, you kind of, like, now I'm like, invested because I'm, like, the idea of Lydia meeting one of the
Stranger Kids
at college, I think would be fun, and I think it would be particularly fun if it was either Elle or Will, because they are two of the stranger of these Stranger Things kids, and Lydia herself is strange and unusual, and I think that she would really vibe with that.
I did. I threw a piece of cheese.
I think, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, I feel like Elle might be, like, because, like, Elle, I feel like, struggles sometimes to find female friends with whom she, like, can connect, and Lydia would totally be like, oh, here's a girl who totally goes to the beat of her own drum, and I love that about her.
And, like, Elle, not to project too much, but Elle has, like, a weird baseline by which she measures everything else.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe not project. Maybe not to project my headcanons onto the character. Not projecting me. But, like, Elle came from a very weird place, so she doesn't always have the most accurate baseline of, is this weird, or do I just not know that this is a thing? Because
Lydia could say some of the most bonkers stuff, and Elle would just be like, oh,
tiny mice smoking cigarettes. That's why the gym is on fire. Lydia could do any level of that kind of trying to rationalize Beetlejuice, trying to excuse Adam and Barbara, trying to excuse maybe there's a fucking ghost on the third floor of their dorm hall about something or other, right? Like, excusing these things, and Elle is either going to accept it because she's like, well, maybe this is just something I haven't encountered because all my friends are boys. Except Max, who we love. Or maybe I'm not going to poke too hard at it because I'm also keeping my own secret.
Yeah, or, like, I mean, frankly, Lydia might even, like, someone might be, like, talking about the afterlife, and Lydia might be like, actually, the afterlife is a terror, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Everyone's just like, empty void.
Lydia's just, you know, doing one of her, like, stuff things, and Elle's just like, oh, okay, perhaps the afterlife is a meaningless empty void. Like, you never know.
You could take it down the line of, we are both, like, a Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of thing. We're both trying so hard to protect our secret that we're not poking holes in everyone else's. And then suddenly something happens that it is neither one of our secret, but we both think it is. Like, if there were, for example, some sort of strange phenomena on college campus, right? Make it something totally unrelated to both.
It's also, I got also just thinking about, like, it's very fun in a certain sense also because Elle is someone whose, like, entire life is so weird, who's trying to kind of learn how to be normal. And Lydia is someone who, like, had a fairly, like, normal upbringing, but, like, is really kind of, like, very into, like, strange, esoteric, you know, goth, bizarre, whatever. Like, so it's, like, fun to kind of, like,
like, find where they think the middle is.
Yeah! And, like, this kind of, like, sort of opposites, but sort of not. And then also just the visuals are very funny where you get
kind of Lydia. They have to be roommates.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. they have to be roommates. Mm-hmm. You're a genius. But then, yeah, you get, like Ellen, like, her, like, flannels and, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. cute, like, trying to figure out, you know, like, what she thinks are, like, cute clothes or whatever, kind of pulling from a variety of sources. And then, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, Lydia and her, like, elaborate Victorian Gothic stuff.
Yes. Yes. Because the shopping montage of Ellen Max at the mall is adorable, mm-hmm. but it is the entire opposite end of the color wheel mm-hmm. from where Lydia is shopping. Mm-hmm. So, like, Elle left to her own devices. Is she going to go with, like, sort of Hopper's flannels and look like the grunge scene has moved to New York in 1992 or whatever? Mm-hmm. Or is she going to go full-on rainbow bright, neon colors, triangles, circles, squares superimposed on each other? Like, either way mm-hmm. is sort of a very alternate look to Lydia's mm-hmm. look. So, of course, they're both going to have, like, knee-jerk opinions about each other having moved in mm-hmm. and seeing these are the clothes in the closet. Mm-hmm. And I just really, like, I do. I think in terms of interpersonal, like, how do I get to know you? Mm-hmm. Like, if this is Lydia going to college after... I have chosen to believe the Beetlejuice comes and goes and he is a fun part of the... He's the creepy uncle part of the fun family. Yes. He is still involved in the family.
Yes, okay? I also choose to believe that.
Adam and Barbara are home, and they're co-parenting with her corporeal parents.
But yeah, so, like, yes, she can still chat with Adam and Barbara or whatever. Yeah. Beetlejuice comes over and, like, causes shenanigans or whatever. Yeah. She's just like, ugh. What did my annoying ghost uncle who I almost married that one time do today?
Yeah. So, like, Lydia... is talking to people at home. Mm-hmm. Elle is still talking to people at home. Mm-hmm. If we go with this idea of, like, okay, Hopper's back, but, you know, Elle was adopted by Joyce for that time period, so Will and Jonathan are still, in some level, mm-hmm. siblings there, right? So she's talking to them. She's talking to maybe the rest of the Stranger kids who've gone off to do things.
Lydia would also fucking hate... Mike? Yes.
Mike...
I mean, I just think that they would get along like rival cats.
Oh my god.
Like, they would just be hissing at each other.
Yes! Yes!
It'd be so funny.
Oh. So, like, they're both doing the thing where we have one phone in the room, and you have to dial 9 before you can dial 1.
Oh my god, yes!
And you have to do it during certain... Because this uh-huh. is early 90s, so you have to make the phone call during a certain amount of time, during a certain uh-huh. window of time, otherwise they charge you for nights and weekends minutes, uh-huh. and that's more expensive. So, like, maybe they work out some sort of agreement for using the phone, where... Because Lydia's calling, let's say, assuming she's going to college in New York, mm-hmm. and she's calling home to Connecticut. So mm-hmm. it's not quite long distance the way Elle calling home to Indiana is long distance.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can only call nights and weekends minutes at certain times on, you know, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. So they have a certain window that they're going to use the phone unless it's an emergency. So, like, coming in at the end of the conversation mm-hmm. of whoever was before you, mm-hmm. where... Person A, whether it's Lydia or Elle, has been, like, into their call for a while now, and they've let down her guard a little bit about, like, whatever, and she started to reach the meat of the conversation and the, like, you know, I'm still having dreams, or I tried to do this thing, or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I thought it was you, but it was just the meatloaf. Mm-hmm. Like, so the other roommate walking in and catching tiny tail-end glimpses of, like, I don't have context for this, and it's weird, but I also don't want you poking too hard at mine. And then I am going with Elle has her powers back.
Yes. I was like, I wonder if, like, Elle, like, moves something, and, like, Lydia notices, but thinks she's, like, maybe, like, a witch or something, and mm-hmm. is like, all right, well, I won't talk to her about it yet or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't decided.
I also, like... This isn't even something that's from, like, the Beetlejuice cartoon. This is entirely fanon that I have chosen to accept.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the movie or the Beetlejuice cartoons. I am fully musicaling it up.
Yes, so we are loving the musical, because...
You could tell me anything was canon, and I'd be like, okay.
Well, the movie we are disregarding, because the movie sucks. The musical is where it's at.
Yes.
The musical, the storyline of the musical makes so much more sense. It is so much more emotionally filling. Mm-hmm. The movie is aesthetic as heck. It really is, but compared to the storyline of the musical, which makes Lydia's grief a central character and makes mm-hmm. Beetlejuice make a lot more sense with their interactions, I like that a lot more. To the outside audience listening to this, eventually, maybe. There's, like, one kind of fandom that's, like, Lydia went to the underworld. Mm-hmm. She opened the book. Mm-hmm. She came back. She read from the handbook of the recently deceased, and she can do a haunting. Lydia has a weird zone between alive and dead.
Sometimes
Lydia has ghost powers.
I like this.
Lydia, there's a bit in That Beautiful Sound, the musical, where Beetle just throws his voice and does the, like, I can control things. And he makes all of the other, the multiple Beetlejuice copies dance what he's doing, the possession. Lydia does that in that song. Mm-hmm. She throws her voice at one point. She's on one side. Her voice is coming from the other side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And she does a dance move that does a possession where all the other Beetlejuices do the dance move Lydia's doing. Mm-hmm. And it might just be a choreography thing, but I have chosen to internalize it as Lydia sometimes has ghost powers.
I like this. I mean, I could see, like, you know, potentially, like, Beetlejuice having, like, given her some ghost powers or whatever. And the thing with ghost powers is that sometimes they just go where they want to go.
Right.
Like, Beetlejuice, I mean, he's a piece of chaos or whatever.
Yes.
Like, sometimes his powers are, too. Lydia's got ghost powers now.
So, like, Elle is doing, she's got her telekinesis, she's got her, like, long viewing, she's got her, like, I can find things. Lydia maybe has the throwing your voice thing and maybe has the I can make something do what I want if I'm not totally thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Elle had a sibling who could make you see things that weren't there. Mm-hmm. Elle had a sibling who could crush things with their brain.
My God, does she think that she's one of, like, the escaped children?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe. I, like, and she's not going to ask too much about it because Lydia is wearing a Victorian, buttoned to her collar, chin bone, buttoned to her wrists.
She can't see any numbers.
Yeah, she can't see anything. So, like, oh, we could take it in a fun direction, which is, I am constantly trying to see if you have any tattoos, and that just means, like, I'm constantly following you into the bathroom, and then hilarious, bad, awkward, and then, ultimately, oh, I'm not looking at her wrists because I'm trying to find a tattoo, I'm looking at them because they're elegant. Snitchy kisses! Or we can take it in a different direction, which is, do you have the same thing I have?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like, so I was thinking potentially, since, as you mentioned, potentially closer to Lydia's family, mm-hmm. maybe for, like, one vacation instead of, like, you know, like, Elle goes home for, like, some of the major ones, but she mm-hmm. can't make it out there for, like, all of the
right.
different vacations or
right.
whatever.
Thanksgiving so maybe, weekend, you're not going to
yeah,
fly all the way
so
to
like,
Indiana.
So, like, for some break, she goes home with
she's going to Connecticut
Lydia.
To Winter
she's
River.
She's going to Connecticut. And they plan ahead and they're like, okay, well, sure, we can try. You know, yeah, we can definitely hide. It's fine. They cannot.
No.
They're so bad
no,
at it.
Adam and Barbara,
everyone
really.
Everyone is so used to, like, talking to Adam and Barbara through the walls. Adam and Barbara just poking their heads in. Beetlejuice shows up in the middle of the table to
just
stick his
plain,
fingers in all of the pie.
Yes.
Literally.
Just plain little things of, I dropped this off the counter, mm-hmm. the ghost will grab it.
Yes.
Little things like
little
that.
Little things.
Oh. Oh. How do you reorganize
it? And then Ella's there,
oh.
and she's just like,
So it could either be, like, hilarious comedy of errors as Delia and Charles are trying to cover for their three invisible or semi-corporeal roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, like, we're managing to hide things, except then you get either somebody, Adam or Barbara, walking through the wall mm-hmm. thinking Elle can't see them.
Oh.
And maybe she doesn't fully, but she can see something is
oh,
happening.
Oh, that would be good.
And Elle is like, everyone else is just going around like nothing, so maybe they can't see it, so I can't say anything.
Oh my God, is Elle trying to investigate their house to see if there's, like, a portal there or whatever they're called?
She's thinking there's a gate somewhere. And she can't say anything because, like, at this point, Elle has lived enough in the world to know what I can do is not what everyone else can do.
Oh my God, Adam and Barbara would just be so, like, Lydia, this guest you brought home is very rude.
She keeps
going
staring.
Into all of the closets.
Oh no.
No, she's not rude.
She just
thinks that your home might be a gateway
to hell.
Evil dimension. I mean, it was at one point a gateway to hell, but a different sort of hell.
and just like, oh, I don't want to give Elle trauma, but there's enough ghost-type things that echo what she's experienced with the Upside Down. Uh-huh. Because, like, temperature shifts, weird goo, ectoplasm, strange noises that not everyone can hear.
Oh, my God. The
lights flickering. And, like, the lights flickering was really more of a Joyce trauma. Like, well, with the Christmas lights, that was a Joyce-specific trauma. Boy, the lights flickering when upside-down shit happens is now an everyone trauma. Uh-huh. Especially after that bit in the hospital where the Mind Flayer was forming his body out of Jonathan and Nancy's coworkers, right?
Yeah.
So the kids are in the hospital for that, and they experience the lights flickering.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've all, like...
They've all had enough of it to know this is not good. Ghosts, lights flickering, cold spots, weird sounds.
Uh-huh.
And, like... reacting to things that other people can't see.
Strange smells, but no, that's just Beetlejuice.
That's just Beetlejuice. So, like, does Lydia try to keep her friend out of the house to disrupt Adam and Barbara's life the least amount, afterlife the least amount possible? Mm-hmm. Except Winter River, Connecticut does not have a lot going for it. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Okay, so Winter River, Connecticut... has...
It would actually be very funny. So, like, potentially, like, Lydia and,
Elle?
And Elle are still, like, feeling each other out.
Mm.
It would be especially funny if Adam and Barbara were the ones who pushed the most for Lydia to invite her stranded roommate home. They're like,
you can't leave her.
You can't leave her alone in the dorms all by herself. We've got plenty of room at the house. Please, bring her by. No, it'll be fine. Of course we'll stay out of the way. It'll be just fine. Spoiler alert, it is not just fine.
So, like, where my sister lives in Connecticut, yes, there's population, but there's also, like, huge expanses of trees and hills.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming Winter River is kind of in that same zone of, like, yes, there are people here, yes, there is a highway, but if you're not driving to the next, like, town thing, the only thing nearby is kind of wilderness.
Urban, like, planned community, right?
Well, so is...
And, like, some suburbs are, like, straight up in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah.
So, like...
Like, you're stranded if you're not driving anywhere.
Right. So, Lydia, seeing that Elle has worn a flannel shirt, deciding Elle must like hiking in the woods. Lydia, in all her lace parasol gothic glory... And Elle in her dad's lumberjack shirt. And we're going for a walk in the woods because that's what good hosting slash getting you out of the house while my two dead co-parents and my stepmother and my father make Thanksgiving dinner.
I don't think that Elle is a hiking person either.
Elle is not a hiking person either.
Extra funny.
Elle is I was in the wood once and I had to eat a squirrel. Literally. Hopper calls her in from the wilderness by putting a plate of Eggos under a box. She eats a squirrel when she's trying to survive in the wilderness when she's 12 years old.
She should absolutely tell Lydia that she's eating a squirrel.
And Lydia's just
like, huh.
Indiana's wild.
How did it taste?
But Lydia, I can also absolutely see attributing...
Like, yes, that's just what they do in Indiana.
Yes. Lydia came from New York City and was forcibly moved to Connecticut. She is not happy about the move to Connecticut.
Oh,
even years later, she is still, I am a city child.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, like, Elle says, I'm from Indiana. Lydia automatically thinks, oh, you had a mall? Really? They have malls out there? And then Elle says, well, I lived in California for a year. Oh, okay. You've been civilized. It's very much like you've experienced capital C culture, but like attributing every weird thing she does to Indiana. Yeah, yeah. And of course, it's not things we do in Indiana. It is Elle came from a child lab.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the weird thing. It is eventually Elle is going to do one weird thing that is Indiana specific.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is. I haven't researched enough what Indiana's do.
Indiana.
bananas do.
But, like, that'll be the thing that Lydia's like, is that because you were from a lab? Once they know each other's secrets. That'll be the thing.
Yes.
So kind of like Elle poking around the house, kind of trying to investigate, trying to figure out, Lydia being deliberately like blithe about everything that goes wrong. Oh, it's from the 1800s. The wiring is faulty, you know, and then they go back to school.
And, I still think that Beetlejuice should show up in the middle of a table sometime. Well, maybe he does that at school. Maybe they managed to get through the entirety of the Thanksgiving vacation without anything being totally figured out one way or another. And then at some point, it's just like, no.
The next week or something, they're back in the dining hall. The only thing is, like, okay, Beetlejuice would definitely play it for gags. But the way he warps reality to come through, like, the table in the musical, right? Like, he kind of bends the world around him so that he can be there. Is very similar to the way the Demogorgon comes out of the wall, especially in season one when it's chasing Elle out of the lab and out of the school.
Oh.
So, like, he would have to...
Oh, poor Elle trying to use psychic powers on it.
On a ghost who's only corporeal when he wants to be.
Yeah.
So, like... I don't know. Does Lydia, like, does Beetlejuice appear somehow and Elle misses the appearance, but then Lydia has to cover when Elle can see him? Because she is strange and unusual in the most literal definition?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, I honestly, what I kind of want is something strange is happening on campus that is not...
And they have to investigate.
And it is not either of their things. It is not psychic powers... And it is not ghostly powers.
Okay.
Maybe it's old man Jacobs and he's wearing a mask.
It's a Scooby-Doo thing.
It was a Scooby-Doo.
A surprise Scooby-Doo cameo at the end.
Yes, it is very much mundane, using weirdness to, like, I don't know, insurance fraud something, right?
That would be very funny. I was thinking, like, oh, is there another Supernatural canon? Like, I don't know, is it, like, Buffy or something?
Oh,
like, no.
Oh.
It might be funniest if it's just a normal, like, Scooby-Doo thing.
Like, oh, well, this building wasn't technically built up to... You know what? We're gonna steal a plot from CSI. One of the buildings on campus... was definitely not built up to code, and the city is requiring that it all be torn down and retrofit, and the contractor is coming back to cover up the fact that he did a poor job or something, and he's trying to make it so that the building is torn, is demolished in a way that does not expose his malfeasance.
Oh.
So it's a very mundane human person doing the thing, but from the outside... It looks spooky. And Elle is thinking, weird noises, weird light fluctuations. Fuck, have I spontaneously manifested a gate in my sleep? I hate my class in this building. Has my hate turned the basement into a portal to hell?
Oh no! And Lydia is thinking, has someone become a ghost in this building? Did someone die here and start haunting it?
Yes. And so they're both kind of investigating and also kind of trying to do this in a way that does not reveal their own connection to it. So again, it comes back to that Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of thing where, what are you doing here? Tiny mice smoking cigarettes and I brought an extinguisher. You know, what are you doing here? Photography for my photography class. You know? That kind of thing. I'm doing urban exploring in the basement. And then, ultimately, they sort of end up in a situation where they're, like, I don't know, trapped together in the basement or something. And need to use their combined sort of let the secret out to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're both like, you can do this? No, I thought you could do that. You can do that? No, I thought you could do this. And then it's a very mundane, my dad's the sheriff. My dad's the chief of police, whatever. My dad's a You'll never get a contractor's warden ever again because my dad's in building and he knows Maxie Dean.
You know? And then that's, like, that's how it gets resolved. But it's very, very much funny. We're both coming at this from our perspective and then we're both wrong about what it is.
I do, in fact, want Daphne, Fred, Velma, and Shaggy to be, like, watching this and be like, huh, we should investigate supernatural mysteries, but it's just, like, a three-line cameo. It's the origin story.
They're just like other kids in the Art 101 class. The Art History 101. Oh, that's so good.
But yes, God.
Elle and Lydia.
Elle just, like... You were also from the lab. And Lydia, like, what? No! What are you talking about? What lab? Do they have science in Indiana?
That's so good. I'm from the Upper West Side. I'm just like, just so much of that.
Very good.
Like, and just like, you know what would have been interesting? If Will had been in, like, he was in the photography room for Lydia's thing, right?
Uh-huh.
If Will was doing art for painting or something like that, and...
Ooh, if Will was continuing to paint out the horrifying nightmare thing.
Yes.
That's what helps him cope. And Lydia's like, oh, I vibe with this.
Yes, very much. Because one of the things that Beetlejuice can do, both in the musical and a little bit in the movie and a lot in the cartoon, is shape-shifting. He does, and like the Maitlands do it too in the film. Like the horror grotesque, I have put on a weird and off-putting presentation of myself in an attempt to scare somebody, right? And if what Lydia is seeing is this off-putting humanoid figure with extra elongated limbs and an off-putting canine.
You were being haunted.
Right.
Of course, this makes perfect sense.
Right. So she's, like, Will is, you know, maybe not drawing it exactly true to life. He's putting, this has to be consumable by my art teacher in order to get a grade filter on it. And Lydia is putting her, I have spoken to dead people on a regular basis filter on it.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's going to see... Your house was haunted too growing up, huh? And Will's going to see, oh shit, maybe the gates are spreading.
Oh, that is good.
You know? Like, or if not the gates are spreading, then...
It wasn't just Indiana.
It wasn't just Indiana. The Department of Energy, this is New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Energy...
Or Connecticut, technically.
Yes, yeah. When Lydia tells him she's from New York.
I know, I'm just thinking of Lydia being like, ugh, Connecticut. And Will being like, Connecticut? What happened in Connecticut?
Yes.
Oh, I went to hell.
Yes. And she means that in the most average, everyday, boring way.
Mm-hmm.
And Will hears... There is more out there.
Will's unexpected journey into hell, very different than Lydia's.
Yes. Like, give me that you're talking at cross
purposes.
Although
it did involve a lot of being chased.
It did. Mm-hmm. It really did. Mm-hmm. Surprising amount of musical numbers. But Will's trauma also involved a surprising amount of musical.
Did it?
When he was possessed by the Mind Flayer,
mm-hmm.
In the, we're trying to break you out in the tinfoiled over shed in season two.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan breaks out the mixtape and plays Should I Stay or Should I Go? And he plays a couple other songs by, like, The Clash and The Talking Heads, trying to break Will out of it. And then, also this is presuming that season five ends and eventually they recap about how everyone's favorite song is the thing that saves them.
Yes.
So, Will's had some music-related trauma as well.
Okay.
Or if not music related, then trauma that has music associated with it. But, like, particularly the bit where they're trying to unpossess him, Jonathan, like, breaks out the mix up and is like, we listen to this song back to back to back to back when mom and dad are fighting.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Like,
okay.
Here's emotional connection. So Lydia says some offhand thing about, like, life is a horrible musical number. And Will is like, you know, sometimes music is the only thing that can save you. And they both think they're talking about what, like, they both think the other one is hearing what they're saying, mm-hmm. but the other one is hearing something entirely different the whole way through.
For the record, the song that would help break Lydia out of brainwashing would be the Shake, Sonora, Shake the Butterfly.
Oh, it would absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes! Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, the culture shock of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can absolutely see Elle and Lydia being, like, the culture shock of where you're from, excusing a lot of mm-hmm. what's actually, because you're got spooky weird powers.
Mm-hmm.
End of semester. Lydia and Elle decide to continue being roommates next year.
Mm-hmm.
Elle, because Lydia's great, and she also wants to get back into that house. Lydia, because Elle is the closest thing to normal, that she's, like... Because I think, okay, at this point, I think Delia has definitely given up on the, this is yellow, and says, I think about death a reasonable amount. Like, Delia has given up on trying to change that from Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I think Delia would still try to be like, join clubs.
Yes.
Meet people. Do things that are like, capital T, teenage experience, mm-hmm. you know? And... Well, I have a girlfriend, and we do things together.
Oh my god, I'm trying to imagine what Delia's would cut, like, yeah, every girl at college needs to have a time where she goes to a rave, and then she hallucinates for 3 days afterwards, and then she ends up 2 states away and has to figure out how to get back.
Oh god, Charles is just like, this is not what I signed up for. Like... Eventually, we need to get Lydia out to Indiana.
Yes.
And the rest of the Stranger Kids are home for the summer.
All right, okay, you're right. We do need to leave off. Elle cannot see Beetlejuice at any point before this because Lydia needs to call Beetlejuice when she's in Indiana.
Yes! Yes! Oh.
Like, maybe there are, like, 3 near misses or whatever, but, like, Elle gets and she's like, this is some fucked up shit. Beetlejuice, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, and of course, when he finally does show up, he's like, excuse me for shorting me out here. You're edging me, and I did not consent to this. Because it's absolutely in the musical. He definitely, or some of the ways that Alex Brightman performs it is definitely a, full body euphoric experience. He definitely does it like, this is my, I'll have what she's having moment.
Yeah.
When she says Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and then cuts off.
Uh-huh.
Like, he shows up and he's like, what do you need? Why have you been cock-blocking me?
He's been told very strictly that he cannot show up to Lydia at college without her calling for him.
Yes.
She's like, yes. No, you are not coming in.
He's like, why are you jerking my chain? You kept calling and stopping. And then it's like, okay, fine, we'll deal with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is it a resurgence, reoccurrence, revisitation from, like, the government or something? Or is it, like, one of the other kids or something who's hunting Elle down?
That's a good question.
Because, like, at this point, we are pretty sure that Papa is fully and completely dead.
God, I hope so.
He gets shot in the head in season 5. I mean 4. Season 4. Season 5 hasn't happened yet. We thought he was dead in season 1 when he got eaten. When everybody got ate by that Demogorgon in the high school.
Mm-hmm.
But in season 4, after Elle has lost her powers and she's trying to get them back, Papa shows back up to get involved in that.
Right.
And then shit goes down and they have to evac the site. And he's holding, like, the trigger to her collar.
Mm-hmm.
And... forget. Somebody shoots him. I can't remember if it's Elle or if it's, like, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely bleeds out in the desert, and okay. We see his body stop twitching.
Okay.
So, like, they could pull a
if you haven't seen the body, he's not really dead kind of mm-hmm. thing, and bring him back again. But, like, for our purposes, Papa is fully and completely gone. Mm-hmm. But there are other organizations that are other elements within the government who know this exists. Mm-hmm. And Kali has been off living in Chicago for the last couple of years, and, like, maybe she's still causing the, you know, every so often she's holding up a gas station and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's low-level local police problems. Mm-hmm. It is not three-star general is looking for you and blaming you for people's deaths. Mm-hmm. Like the situation at the beginning of season 4 is towards Elle. Mm-hmm. So it could be she comes home from college and she has been making a point to make herself noticeable. And I feel like part of the reason that Elle gets to go to college mm-hmm. is make yourself noticeable enough to enough mundane people that they can't disappear you. Mm. Safety in anonymity, not working. Mm-hmm. Safety in, fuck, what's the word? When it's everything all around, like Tickle Me Elmo. Not obscurity, opposite of obscurity.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you say, like, Tickle Me Elmo?
Right, because it was, like, every store, everyone wanted one in every single store.
Oh, okay. sorry. Okay, I do know what you're being,
like, you are so
omnipresent?
Yeah, basically. You are so noticeable because so many people know about you that if I tried to disappear you, people would notice the disappearance.
Ubiquity?
Yes, ubiquitous.
Okay.
That is the word. Okay. Like Tickle Me Elmo and Cabbage Patch Kids. So, like, safety through anonymity wasn't working because mm-hmm. they still knew where to start looking in Hawkins to yeah. find her. So at this point, maybe Hopper is like, hiding's not working. We need to make you a big enough part of the world that if someone came after you, people would notice and it would look like they're coming after an everyday citizen. Mm-hmm. So that's why she's allowed to go to college. That's why she's allowed to be out in the world.
Give me one second. What year do we think that they would be in college? 1990?
92? So 80 summer.
Damn it. Okay. Soviet Union fell in December 1991. But it could be, like, a leftover person, like, oh. who kind of, like, left the country and, like,
okay,
I don't
Soviet
know.
Union fell, but secret government funding for a secret government weapon is going to keep coming.
That's true.
From whoever's in charge.
So, could be Soviets, could be Soviet spies.
Could
I don't
be.
Know.
Okay.
There's like, always like, there's always the Soviets as a solid yeah. when Stranger Things.
Not every single person died in the base in Russia. There were definitely enough people who were still in the base, like, you know, when they were breaking Hopper out in season 4. Not everyone got eaten.
Yeah. And they might be like, well, not everyone got eaten in the U.S. What's the difference? They right. had this girl.
Right.
Maybe we need to kidnap the girl.
Yes.
So
while where they made her safe from the United States government disappearing her, mm-hmm. they actually made her more visible to external.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Elle comes home from, because, like, otherwise I could absolutely see
like,
Hopper
at that
being
point
like,
they might have still had, like, a few, like, spies in the Department of Transportation who might yeah. have, like, known, like, oh, well, the U.S. government can't, like, touch her.
Boy.
But, like, we're not the U.S.
We're
government.
We're not the U.S. government, and their laws don't apply to us, and we don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I could totally see that. Because, like, I could also see Hopper being, like, very resistant.
Also, I feel like Lydia would just be like, the Russians?
This is so mundane. Like, because I could just really see Hopper being very resistant to Elle leaving the state, mm-hmm. going to school alone, not going to school where Jonathan can, or Will, or he can watch her. Uh-huh. Like, because Hopper's first reaction was hide her in a cabin for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, the man is like, I want to keep you safe, but he is not necessarily thinking, what is your quality of life while I'm keeping you safe, right? Uh-huh. And Joyce definitely having to talk him down and be like, this is the best way to keep her safe. We can't hide her anymore. You know? And maybe Will does go to school.
Yeah, I was
at the same
say,
school.
If they wanted to send Will with her, we could definitely work that in.
Right. And that's how he and Lydia interact in the art department. Mm-hmm. But maybe Lydia doesn't fully realize Will is my brother
uh-huh.
of her roommate mm-hmm. because two different last names,
mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's a fun little, wait, why is Will Byers sitting with us on the plane? I didn't know you two knew each other. And just, like, sort of being Lydia's very, like, because she does. She has sort of a... Because,
like, he see, like, Will and Elle presumably still, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
In a very different context.
Right. Than Lydia and Elle. Mm-hmm. And just sort of, like, Lydia also does have a little bit of that, like, me-centered universe. Mm-hmm. So I could totally see her being like, okay, you have other friends.
Yeah.
That's fine. And just, like, not looking into it. Because it's not, like, any of her business or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, hilarious sort of, why is Will Byers in our cab with us? Why is Will Byers on our plane with us? Why is Will Byers hugging your mom? Why is Will Byers in the car with us to your mom's house? Like, the,
why
the full...
Why does your mom have the same name as Will Byers? Did you steal Will Byers' mom?
Yes! Is that what they do in Indiana? So, that's funny.
God.
But, like...
Lydia, in, like, 30 seconds, has just, like, thought up, like, the most, like, dramatic Will and, like, Elle are secretly, like, long-lost half-siblings, whatever thing, and then, like, they're, like... And Joyce adopted me. Or, like, Joyce married my father.
Blended family.
She's like, oh.
It's the most fine. Simplistic. Yes.
Disappointing.
Yes. So at this point, Lydia knows some of Elle's, like, lab super child background. Mm-hmm. And Elle knows some of Lydia's, I can see ghosts and I can do some things. So, like... They know a little bit about each other's secrets, but not the full extent of, like, well, because it's not relevant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So it is the first couple days of Lydia's two-week stay in Indiana, maybe, where she's meeting, it's like a Stranger Kids reunion, and she's meeting, like, Max.
Which, again... Adam and Barbara have also probably talked her into.
Yes, yes.
And Delia and Charles were, like, going on some, like, vacation, and Adam and Barbara already... were like, oh, honey, you should go see your roommate. You should go be friends. It'll be fun.
Oh, my God. Otho is going on a speaking tour.
Yes!
Lydia's dragging Charles along for her gross speaking tour. Yes. Yes. And then coincidentally going to Aruba or something like that. So we're not going to be home, so you may as well. You should definitely.
Mm-hmm.
It's so kind of her to open her home to you, that kind of thing. We're always a phone call away if you need us.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. Definitely Adam and Barbara talk her into it. I love that. Yes. I love it so much. So she gets out there, and, like, the first half of it is the crossover of my dreams, where it is just, like, characters interacting with each other, where they're, like, putting on their public manners faces. Mm-hmm. And, like, the rest of the Stranger Kids, they go to public high school.
Mm-hmm.
They have each other as, like, you know, support, but they do have to be in the world. So they're not going to always, like, be talking in code about the time that Steve's baseball bat saved the world.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's something that, like, Elle and them versus Elle and the rest of their History 101 class, you know, she acts a little different. She lets herself guard down a little bit. Like, Elle hasn't told them Lydia's secret, but Elle knows Lydia's secret. And, like, just sort of seeing, like...
Although it would be incredibly funny if, like, they've told each other just enough that they, like, still think the other has, like, a little bit of what they've owned.
Yes.
Still got going on.
Yes.
Like,
I've acknowledged that I do have something.
Yeah.
And I'm,
like,
letting
maybe,
you fill in the blanks.
Maybe she thinks that she's, like one, because, like, he had the psychic powers before.
Before,
like,
yes.
He was, you know, evil or whatever, and Lydia's not. But,
right.
Like, maybe, like, something, like, weird like that.
You are someone who had psychic powers who didn't get caught up and amplified.
And Lydia, like, has, like, oh, maybe the government found out about, like, ghosts and they tried some, like, weird, like, lab shit or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe she's thinking Elle died and came back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how she has ghost powers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, totally mundane, you know, heart-stopped kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But she has no one else to ask. Mm-hmm. So she's just going to assume if you were dead for a second and then came back, like, enough people that it happens to, that there's enough unexplained things in the world. Maybe that's why. Mm-hmm. You know, Angry Pygmy shrunk his head. There is magic in the world. Mm-hmm. Spontaneous combustion. There is magic in the world for Lydia. Mm-hmm. Like, things that are unexplained. And you could just put a supernatural afterlife-y twist to it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So just enough that they both think... They still mostly agree with their original conclusions about mm-hmm. the other. And then...
Yeah, and something about, like, another world and monsters or whatever.
Yeah, The Netherworld.
She's like, oh, Elle was just very traumatized by her visit to the Netherworld.
Yes. Mia's like, I mean, to be fair...
It was scary.
It was scary. And, like, everyone who died looks like they did in the moment of their death. Mm-hmm. Like, someone got eaten or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So... The first half is just characterization. It is just character-driven.
Helen and Mike it kissing. Lydia and Mike kissing at each other.
Oh, yes.
I just want it. Well, I just want it.
Has Mike continued to stick with the metalhead thing? Because punks and goths don't mix.
Oh. That would be beautiful.
Like, I don't know. Fannin has that Dustin's going to go to MIT and mm-hmm. be a genius. Fantastic. He's in Boston. He can come home. That's good. Mm-hmm. I don't entirely know where Max is going, but maybe back to California or something. Mm-hmm. But in that case, there's no reason for Max to come back to Indiana. Mm-hmm. If she can go to school in California, I don't see her coming back. Mm-hmm. So maybe Max is at, like, a community college or something until she has enough money saved to go to California. Mm-hmm. So okay. That's why she's still here right now. Coincidentally, Steve Harrington is in her Spanish class, and she's not happy about that. Yeah, Steve's taking Spanish at the community college as well. Max is like, fine, you can drive me. You're so old. I don't know you. It's so good. Totally unrelated to anything except for the fact that it gives me exceeding great joy.
Yes.
Steve is definitely a... fuck, what do they call it? He's an older student. Mature.
Continuing education, whatever.
Yeah, he's a mature continuing education type of situation. And, like, maybe it's because, like, you know what? I have decided to internalize these. Steve is not leaving Hawkins until the kids leave Hawkins.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and, that tracks.
Like, maybe he's like, you know what? This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my beginning stuff here and I'll transfer it later. Mm-hmm. So, Steve is still there. Robin and Nancy and Jonathan. Jonathan's home. Mm-hmm. Robin and Nancy are, I don't know, if they're at school or if they're coming home for winter or summer, mm-hmm. whatever fucking season this is, August.
Is it Nancy's August? Family no. probably has enough money for them to, for come her back. To fly home for vacation or yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
Even if she's semesters. At, like, you know, like, Yale or wherever she is.
Maybe Robin is working. Mm-hmm. Maybe Robin is working during the summer.
Okay. Steve is pining.
Steve is definitely, like, I'm putting myself through this so that I can join you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it is. Steve is sticking around for the kids. He's going to meet up with Robin once he has his 2 years of community college. Mm-hmm. And the kids are, like, fully, you know, settled into their college lives. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a reunion later. Mm-hmm. So Steve is there because I adore that man. Jonathan is there because...
Okay. I know that this is not at all the point, but your little sidebar with Steve and Max, yes. I am now enjoying thinking. So, like, part of Max presumably is, like, she doesn't have, like, really the kind of, like, means to go be living somewhere else.
Right.
She doesn't have to necessarily be doing community college in Indiana specifically. So maybe, no. like, Steve finishes up his community college thing, and then he just drives Max to wherever he and Robin are going to go.
Yes!
He ends up living with him and yes! Robin as they all do college, like, somewhere else, whether it's, like, community college or she's, like, still, you know, saving up for other stuff or saving whatever.
Because I definitely
But they're all just... And then oh. she's like, oh, so embarrassed, but also now they're friends.
Yes! Yes!
Anyway, that's a total so background thing she that is only briefly mentioned yes. in the passing of this, but very important.
Deeply, for me, important to know that this is how it's going to end up. Yes. Oh, I love that. So, like,
Steve and Jonathan are there, and there's still a weirdness. Mm-hmm. There's definitely still a weirdness because of that time that my girlfriend cheated on me with you. Mm-hmm. And, like, we've been through the end of the world, but we weren't ever in the same circles, and we haven't still, like, fully... Because then Jonathan was gone for a year. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like...
And he came back as a stoner.
He came back as a stoner! So, like, they're there, and they're part of the same group, but it's still, like, a little bit... We're not... We're acquaintances. Mm-hmm. We are acquaintances who keep being acquainted. And it's funny as heck for Lydia to try and figure out the web of these people.
Yes! Because which they ones all... dated, yes. Which ones are related to each yes. other.
The entire time, they're, like, they're all got their company manners on, and they're like, yes, this is my, you know, public-facing face, and we're definitely not talking about my... You know, strange, horrifying nightmares. You're talking about my Mormon girlfriend, uh-huh. who really does exist. Dustin and Susie are definitely still on, and
yes, 100%.
Their entire relationship has been long distance.
Presumably, she goes to Stanford now, and he's at MIT.
Still long distance.
Still long distance. Longer distance somehow.
Yes. Her dad thought he could put a whole continent between them.
You can't end their love, no matter how some
early like, 90s
Dustin, Princess Bride quotes.
Oh my god,
the Princess Bride.
Oh my god, Dustin is going to have a car phone.
Oh my god,
Dustin and Susie are going to have
Princess Bride was 1987, so we're totally okay to do the like you you cannot whatever true. Distance cannot stop true love. Yes! All it can do is delay it for a while.
Oh, God, but also Dustin with, like, I'm a 1992 businessman brick of a cell phone, specifically for calling his mother Steve and Susie.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's it. Oh, very good.
So, like, they're trying really hard, and mm-hmm. Lydia's like, clearly you all go together, mm-hmm. but... From, like, the bits Elle has told me, mm-hmm. none of you make sense. Mm-hmm. How does this keep happening? Because mm-hmm. at this point, you know what? We're going to double down on the fandom, and Lucas is definitely going to school as a scholarship for jock things. Mm-hmm. So Lucas is a jock.
Yeah.
Dustin is...
Yeah, you've got your
Radio
jock.
Shack nerd.
Your punk. Your nerd.
Elle. You're, with
yeah,
her lumberjack
you're whatever style. Elle is. I mean, frankly, you've got, like, most of the Breakfast Club yes. there.
Yes. And so, like, Lydia being the almost outsider POV of it all, mm-hmm. of, like, how do these people have anything to do with each other and why? Mm-hmm. And building these slowly more elaborate, like, you know... And Lydia comes from the, my mom and I used to do haunted houses in July kind mm-hmm. of thing. So she is fully down to build... the weirdest, most outlandish internal monologue for all of this. Mm-hmm. And then somehow we have to get it back to the first half of the week is definitely meeting people and deciding knee-jerk reactions, knee-jerk opinions about people and like...
Yeah, then the Russians attack.
And then the Russians. How do we get the Russians? Is there... It can't be a new mall again. It's gotta be like...
I think they come in and they try to kidnap Elle.
Do they try to get her, like, when they're not in Hawkins or when they are in Hawkins? Like, have they gone for a day trip into Indy or something? Or is it, we okay. know where she's going to be and so...
Contemplate.
Okay.
In their investigation into the thing that ended up being Old Man John or whatever...
Yes.
A series of shenanigans... which neither Lydia nor Elle realize are taking place, but which continue to foil the Russian agents from kidnapping Elle. Just, like, they're always getting knocked out at inconvenient times or, like, blockaded into various rooms.
Yes! Elle and Lydia running for their lives to, like, the basement boiler room or whatever and slamming a door shut behind them.
Uh-huh.
And then they accidentally also lock the Russian agent into the supply closet until uh-huh. the next morning. Yes. Yes.
So they wanted to get her on campus, and it did not work, so they have followed her to Indiana in the hope that perhaps there will be fewer comedies of errors
okay,
there.
Okay, all right. So they're definitely still in Hawkins, then. And maybe they see something, like, when they're in town. It's Lydia and Alan. They're going for, like, the diner.
But I guess they could go to, like, Indy on a day trip or whatever, you know? Like, any, like, many options or whatever.
I just... Because, like, is it going to be the kind of thing where we are out of our comfort zone, out of our safety, and that's why they try to grab her?
Oh, interesting.
Or is it, like, from the foreign agent's perspective... Hawkins is a small known quantity. I can eliminate distractions because it is a small known quantity.
That is possible, yeah.
So, like, my kind of vibe is, like, Elle and Lydia go to dinner at the diner, and Elle's just sort of showing her around town and whatever, and they see something weird.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle says something at home when Lydia's not in the room, and somebody says... You can't be jumping at... Somebody says something stupidly ironic, like, you can't jump at every shadow you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't think it's Hopper. I think Hopper is always down to be...
No, Hopper is fully paranoid.
He's fully paranoid
at
this point,
right?
He's fully paranoid at this point.
Like, there could be a monster in that shadow.
Yeah, so maybe it's Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she tells Jonathan, and he's like, look, you're getting used to life as an everyday person,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't had... And he thinks he's helping.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks she's just having, like, regular garden variety separation anxiety kind of thing.
Yeah. But look how that happened when we were trying to tell Will that it was all in his head.
It was all... Right. It was PTSD, and it's a real thing, but it's not this thing. Only it was this thing. You know?
But maybe it's also, like, they're trying to, like, use, I don't know, their monster detectors or whatever they've, like, hooked up. And it's not reading anything.
Right. Yeah.
Although I guess the Russians could try and pull some monster out of somewhere, but, like, I don't know, maybe...
If it's just people,
mm-hmm.
then anything
Although I
that
do
you
want
would...
the monsters to... the monsters do have to show up in some... Because, like, Lydia needs to see the fucked up shit...
In order to call Beetlejuice.
In order to call Beetlejuice. So maybe the Russians are trying to, like, come back to Hawkins and reopen the gate from Hawkins... And then steal Elle in the chaos.
So then we have to go to sort of a post season 4. This town went through a earthquake mm-hmm. zone and has. So maybe they're trying
or to. Or maybe the Russians are trying, I don't know, trying to do something else, but then they accidentally, like, you know, start some shit. Or,
so,
like, I don't know, some cryogenically frozen piece of the, like, Demogorgon or whatever.
Yeah. So we know that there are weak spots.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's the place, the spot under the mall.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's a spot in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
Elle's not going back to the lab if you paid her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going back to the rubble of the mall because she doesn't want to be in
what
a
was
construction
under the lake?
Zone. Patrick was killed over the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So the gate was at the base of, at the floor of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another gate where Fred died mm-hmm. on the road kind of by the trailer park. There's another gate where Chrissy died, where Eddie's trailer was.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another gate.
There was the pumpkin patch.
So the pumpkin patch was from the labs.
Okay.
It was literally under the labs and spreading outwards. And the pumpkin patch is where they kind of touched surface.
Okay.
But, like, the hot spot, the weak spot between worlds is still at the lab for
okay.
that.
They could be collecting soil samples
they could
or something.
Be. Well, the other thing I'm thinking
Russian
is, so Max,
to the bottom of the lake.
Max and the Creel House,
mm-hmm.
and the very first time the Demogorgon came into the world in season 1, through a tree in the woods, through Steve Harrington's
pool.
So he came in through a tree in the woods
mm-hmm.
and went out through Steve Harrington's pool.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
mm-hmm.
the Russians are trying to... I figured it out. Okay. The Russians are trying to, again, reopen a gate.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go to one of the hotspots. They can't get to the mall. They can't get to the Department of Energy building.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get to any of the known government-monitored zones.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harrington's pool has had a malfunction, and his mother has hired contractors to re-waterproof, re-concrete
oh
the
my
pool.
God.
Surprisingly, The contractors' names are Boris and Natasha. And that's it. The kids are hanging out at Steve's house. Uh-huh. They want to go in the pool, but they can't because my mom's got the pool under construction right now. But it's the middle of July. It's the middle, beginning of August. Yeah, but, like, you know, you can't do it in the winter because the ground's too cold. Mm-hmm. We've got to have it the whole thing redug and re-waterproofed. Mm-hmm. So they've got to be here for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're going to grab out. Because Steve's house, as we know, backs up into the woods, mm-hmm. and it's the kind of neighborhood where the neighbors notice things, but they only notice what bothers them. So they mm-hmm. see a contractor's truck coming for 4 days in a row. They're not going to notice mm-hmm. if the contractor's truck leaves with a child inside it. Uh-huh. They're just going to see that the contractor's truck is leaving. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Parringtons must have finished resurfacing their pool.
Oh.
And that's how... So they're trying to reopen the gate through that weak spot in the Harrington's pool floor.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime Steve pokes his head in, well, they're holding a jackhammer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that must be because they have to break up the concrete in order to relay the foundation of the mm-hmm. pool. Not because we are trying to jackhammer to the weak point between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And something gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And in the chaos, that's when they grab Elle and also Lydia.
Well, there's two girls. Might as well get both of them.
Right. Both of these girls reacted. We can't just leave one because she'll sound the alarm. Uh-huh. We're taking both of them. And Steve's at work.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he pokes his head in, one of them's holding a jackhammer and the other one is, you know, looking at a blueprint or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle style, like, comically try to, you know, make the hole to the other dimension worse.
Uh-huh.
They let something out. Mm-hmm. Somebody bleeds, they let something out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Elle and Lydia get grabbed. Because mm-hmm. they've been at Steve's mm-hmm. house and they're, I don't know, enjoying the AC or something. Mm-hmm. They're hanging out with the kids. Steve's at work, but the rest of them are enjoying Steve's air conditioning.
Lydia has put on one of the plaid shirts, so they're both wearing plaid. So it's like, oh, it's a girl about yay age wearing plaid. Better grab both of them just in case.
Yes. So now Lydia has seen the monster of it.
Uh-huh.
And she has been kidnapped.
Uh-huh.
And she probably wakes up in, if not a bunker under the mall, some sort of isolated, you know, restrained situation. And Elle's got the collar on. Elle can't use her powers. Because the Russians know enough of what the Department of Energy was doing. Even if they can't replicate it entirely, they know mm-hmm. enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got the power nullifying color on Elle. No, they've got a power nullifying color on both of them because they don't know which one is.
Yes!
Only Lydia's ghost powers are not limited to what I can move with my brain.
Yeah.
It is... All I gotta do is be able to talk.
Yeah.
And
I like this.
That's where Beetlejuice comes
in. I like this.
And then it is more...
Beetlejuice is like, oh, kinky.
Yes! Very much! You told me you liked the girl, but you didn't tell me you liked her like that. I love a good egg up in the morning. Yes! Oh, God. And then, of course, musical number.
Yes. Very important.
Important to have a musical number. But, like, I don't know. Does he just... He can't just rip through the entirety of everything and save them. Because as a... Beetlejuice is an agent of chaos, and he's also contrary as fuck. And she has been jerking him off.
Yes.
And he's been... She's been... She's multiple times nearly summoned him. She's been edging him without his consent. He voices the meme.
Lydia has to go between, I'm sorry, Beetlejuice, and Beetlejuice, I am going to murder you again.
Yes.
Do you want me to feed you to a sandworm? The monster does end up getting eaten by a sandworm at the end.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So now we've found a third thing. Bear traps, fire, sandworms.
Sandworms. Sandworms can eat anything.
Oh, that's so good. But, like, he can't just tear through wherever and just let
them
go.
No, he's not going to be helpful.
No. No.
He's going to be occasionally helpful, but also unhelpful.
It is very much bait and switch.
Uh-huh.
She is definitely egging him on and reverse psychologing and whatever. Like, how do I talk him into doing what I want without him knowing that that's what I want him to do?
Eventually they decide that they just want to cause trouble for the Russians.
Yes.
And that's mainly like, oh, I get to punk the fuck out of these guys? Hell yes.
Yes. Because, like,
so he's in it for that element of causing chaos. He may temporarily take over all of Hawkins and make it into his little nightmare town, but only temporarily.
And at this point, the town of Hawkins is so used to
it. They're so used to it. He's like, nobody's reacting as fun as I want them to.
Oh, and then the officials.
They're all just, like, getting bats and crowbars and fire. Boring.
The official is, official explanation is once again hallucinogens in the water. Gangs on PCP! Gangs on PCP!
Oh, just strange gangs of people in black and white striped outfits with
that's
wild
gang
hair.
Colors. Black and white and green. That's gang colors.
Absolutely gang colors. They all look the same because of gang affiliation.
So somehow, and then it also turns into sort of the flip side, meet the family. Because Elle has gotten to meet meet Barbara and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
She did Thanksgiving with Delia and Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And Lydia just had the meet the rest of the gang for like a week. Mm-hmm. And now Elle is meeting the piece that explains the rest of Lydia.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
And then it's like, does the rest of the gang realize something has happened? Yes. Does the rest of the gang show up comically just after the chaos?
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Yes.
They show up right in time to see the monster get eaten by the sandworm.
Yes.
Like, they've been trying to, like, fight it and chase it. It's been running around causing chaos, and then there's this other chaos that's been going on.
Does the gang think the sandworm is the thing that got out of Steve's pool?
Interesting.
How long are Lydia and Elle captive?
I think they're captive for a while. I was imagining the sandworm only kind of showing up at the end.
At the very end. Okay.
When Beetlejuice is like, fine, this whole thing is getting boring. And he, like, because they're buddies now. So
right,
he summons
right.
the sandworm.
Yes,
the
because
sandworm,
Beetlejuice is a horse girl.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. maybe something is, like, threatening Lydia, like, for real. And Beetlejuice is like, I am not going to fucking stand. I'm done having fun now.
Yes.
That is my former child bride.
And, of course, that's when, like, the rest of the gang yes! shows up for that part of the yes! monologue. Oh, you said your roommate had weird, but that's, like, a lot of weird.
Albert immediately leveling a shotgun on Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Yes. And he's like, no, it's okay. It was all part of a cunning scheme to make sure that he, would
so
go
he
back
would die.
Into the world. Yeah. It was also that I could murder him.
You'd understand if you got to know him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's just in time. They they rescue her just in time for like the next day she goes back to Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't really have to explain anything. I'll see you in 2 weeks at the end of August.
Oh, but this means that the next time Elle comes over, she can meet Barbara and Adam properly this
yes.
time.
Yes.
They're very happy about it.
Oh, that's good. That's
they're like
good.
The most normal people that Elle has ever met in her life.
Yes. Because, like,
they just happen to be dead.
Because, like, Joyce is very, like, she's very clearly caring about her children, and she's very willing to, like, drop everything to find and save them. But Joyce is also her own level of weird.
Yes.
And, like, people are like, oh, yeah, Joyce is super maternal. No, Joyce is a level of weird, and there's a reason everyone thinks she's, like, there's a reason in season one people think she's the town weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She's a feral mom.
Yes.
Which is not a character type that you necessarily get very often, which I appreciate about her.
Yes.
Like, you'll often much more get feral children.
Yes.
But Joyce is feral mom.
But Adam and Barbara are just like,
they're a little bit like, if Mike's mom are like,
yeah,
was nicer.
If Mike's like, mom was nicer.
Yeah. Very, she's, Adam and Barbara are very invested in Lydia. They care very much about her friends, you know?
They're so excited. They're very into all her interests. Hear about all your things. Yeah. That's so good.
Yes.
They're just dead. That's all.
They're just dead. That's all.
And then it comes back, and, like, the story ends with one of them opening the door to their new dorm room for sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says the ironically inaccurate, I think it'll be smooth sailing this year.
Yes!
Yes. That's where it is.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, man.
High five.
High five.
The Stranger Things Beetlejuice crossover you were hoping for.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Good. I'm glad you recorded that.
I am. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.